Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
And here we go.
Hey, that's the sound of rock cracking. Once again, you've got Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, and you're listening to us right here on WebTalkRadio.net. It's the first full week of October. And in October, what do we have? End of the month, Halloween. Is it a time to be scared? Well, you might better be. There's some things scaring the bejeebies off of me and should be Americans and should be around the world when you look at what happens with failed American leadership. And I'm telling you, we may be on the doorsteps of World War III. I hope not, but I'm going to explain that to you. And before we do that, we're going to talk a little bit about some of the election, Republican nomination. I was at the Value Voter Summit last week, Washington, D.C., and I got to hear seven or eight of the Republicans running for the nomination, and I also got to hear several things. I'm going to fill you in, and we did get to hear about who? John Boehner resigning when we were there. I'll tell you what happened coming up. And before we do that, let me just tell you that there's something that if all the chaos and mess that's going on in the world and around the country, and we got this campaign for the Democratic nomination, Republican nomination, but I have to tell you, some of the big news, Obamacare, it's failing miserably. One of the things that the government set up with Obamacare were these medical co-ops. And a lot of the Democratic officials and people who give to the Democratic Party got federal money to help, federal loans to set up these medical co-ops. They never had experience in insurance before, but they got to set them up. Some of them hundreds of millions of dollars, some of them even to the tune of a couple of billion dollars all over the country. And now we're seeing time after time they're failing, they're going bankrupt. And guess what? The taxpayer is hooked for the loans. The American taxpayer, as Obamacare goes crashing down. Where's the stories? Where's the media? I'm telling you about it. And we're going to take a better look at it as we have time to do that. But Obamacare co-ops are crashing, and you're footing the bill. You're footing the bill of failed policies by the progressive socialist agenda. Now, I told you we're going to talk about this dangerous chaos going on around the world. When you see American leadership challenged, the lack of leadership creating a vacuum, and I'm telling you, we may be on the doorsteps of World War III. I pray not. I hope not. But you can look what happened with Neville Chamberlain in Great Britain, Prime Minister in 1938. He said, we have peace in our time. And we got somebody just like that in the presidency of the United States. It goes around, says we got to talk about things. And we're going to talk about and play clips and tell you what's going on that may scare the heebie-jeebies out of you in this month of October where Halloween's coming up. And I tell you, it's scary to what's coming out of the White House and the lack of what's coming out of the White House. So stay tuned for that. But right now, let me give you an update on the presidential race and the Republican nomination. Just last week, I got to listen live to several candidates, like Donald Trump spoke to us just I was at the Value Voters Summit. They have one every year in October and September. And this time, they had several of the presidential candidates that came in. There was also Bobby Jindal, Mike Huckabee. There was Rick Santorum. There was Ted Cruz, and there was Marco Rubio. And so we had several and who want to be the nominee, come in and speak to us. So what? How do I feel seeing him in person? I've never seen Donald Trump in person. He came in, and I have to tell you, the auditorium was packed when he spoke. Probably the most people for the whole event was listening to Donald Trump. And he came out. This is the Value Voters Summit. And he came out and he held up a Bible that he was given by his mother when he was just a young child. And he was showing his name and address. And, of course, there were people whispering, has he ever opened it? Bobby Jindal later came up and said, Trump showed his Bible, but he said he doesn't open it to read it because Trump's name's not in it. So he's saying Trump wasn't reading anything that his name wasn't in. Now, Trump was very, very much Trump. He's talking about that morning that John, we heard him speak that morning. John Boehner had just resigned as the House Speaker. And Trump was talking about the congressional leaders were like babies. That's what he said. They're like babies. They don't know how to negotiate. Said let him get in charge and he'd know how to negotiate things that would get America moving. I have to tell you that Ted Cruz came on. And Ted Cruz had he came out and he said this because the president of China was staying in a hotel across the street from where the Value Voter Summit was held. And so listen to what Ted Cruz had to say to an enthusiastic crowd.
Wow! God bless the Value Voter Summit. You know, there's an ancient Chinese curse. May you live in interesting times. These are interesting times. Yesterday, Pope Francis was in Washington. It's wonderful to welcome him here. I have to say, the press conference was a little awkward. Because every time the reporters addressed a question to Your Holiness, Barack Obama answered. Well, and then today, President of China, President Xi, is in town. Media all across the world are reporting on this historic meeting of the world's most powerful communist and the president of China.
That. And Ted Cruz went on, and I have to tell you, for a conservative group, Ted Cruz hit it right on the nail speaking to the conservatives that were there. And he probably had the best presentation as far as he was articulate and confident in what he was saying. Marco Rubio did a good job. He got a lot of applause. And then Donald Trump later, when Donald spoke after Marco Rubio, and he hit Rubio for not voting and his voting record in the Senate. And the audience went, ooh, Donald was pushing the button there, and they didn't quite like Donald pushing it on Rubio as much. And Rubio did get a big applause, but not for anything that he did. I'll tell you why he got the applause, because he said, I just want to inform you that Speaker Boehner has just said he's going to resign. And when he said that at the Value Voters, that was a couple of thousand people in the auditorium. I mean, there was a standing ovation. There was wild, ecstatic clapping. And there was shouting and hollering. And it was something to behold. Marco Rubio had to just be silent for a minute and let everybody get their yelling and clapping out. And there was a huge thunderous applause applauding the fact that the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, had decided to resign. So what else did I learn from the presidential candidates? Lindsey Graham, I had my children. I wanted them to hear some of the presidential candidates. And one they said about Lindsey Graham, they said he started off real good talking about defense. He knew defense, but then it sort of drug on and he got boring and boring and boring and his voice was monotone. And he said he kept rubbing his little pinky like, I got to think of something to say. So that was their impression of Lindsey Graham. Later on, I had Lindsey. I got to talk just a second with Lindsey. It was an exclusive. Let me play you this one. when Lindsey Graham was asked, when Senator Lindsey Graham was asked that if he would drop out because Scott Walker and Donald Trump have said there need to be more dropping out.
I agree with that. They should all drop out and get behind me.
Thanks, everybody.
Take care.
So Lindsey Graham doesn't seem like he's going to drop out. But I have to tell you, as we finish up what we learned from the presidential candidates, I can't tell you everything this week. I'll have to go into some more what I learned about the campaign at the Value Voter Summit. I learned a lot and I want to go into that. But I got to get you started on this very special show about what's happening around the world. You remember just 3 weeks ago we did a show, you know, The World in Peril, when America leads from behind. We did an entire show on that. I've been following up Putin going into Syria. I followed up and followed up. And I'm telling you that since we've done shows about Putin and Obama back 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and it is dangerous to think about how this administration has not learned from mistakes. And in fact, at the Value Voter Summit, I ran into John McCain, Senator John McCain, and I asked Senator McCain this and another exclusive right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, because I care about you, the listeners, and I want you to understand we're going to dig down wherever it takes, whatever it takes, to make sure you understand what you need to know. So listen to Senator John McCain when I asked this question just a few days ago, but it was before the Russians had started bombing in Syria. So take a listen to what Senator John McCain had to say to me.
Senator, what about the Russian buildup in Iran and Syria?
It's a direct result, and then the Syria thing, direct result of American failure of leadership. When there's a vacuum of American leadership, then that vacuum has been filled. This is a result of leading from behind. The president's spokesman the other day, in the most bizarre statement I've ever heard in my life, said that the president felt vindicated because the arm and train and equip Syrians had failed. The deaths of I don't know how many people, because his spokesman said, well, he'd been against it all along. You know, what would Harry Truman say? It's unbelievable.
What's the future of America? I mean, we're already 10, 20 years down the road if this
Any one of these candidates that I know in favor, you'll see the same change that took place when Ronald Reagan succeeded Jimmy Carter. America is still strong. America is still great. We just need a leader that will lead from in front, not from behind.
Thank you, Senator.
Okay.
Wow, did you hear that on the Doc Holliday exclusive when I asked Senator McCain and he told us, understand what he's talking about, how the president felt vindicated because the team that Congress had agreed with the administration to put $500 million to build up an army of moderate Muslims to help fight against Assad in Syria, and he feels vindicated because he didn't want them to win to begin with because they were decimated? Unbelievable. Did you hear what Senator John McCain said? The most bizarre thing he'd ever heard of. Like he said, what would Harry Truman say? This is the commander-in-chief, the president of the United States that the senator's talking about, and you hadn't heard this on any other show because it's exclusive to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, and I hope you help get the word out. Share it. Let people understand what Senator John McCain is getting the message out, that we got a leader who feels vindicated because people have died and lost the cause that people were putting them up to do. Unbelievable. That's right. And he talked about the vacuum of leadership. And I'm so glad he mentioned that. I have to go back to 2012. Let's listen to what Mitt Romney said in the debates, what he thought we needed to do in foreign policy. Take a listen to this.
Russia, I indicated, is a geopolitical foe. It's a geopolitical foe. And I said in the same paragraph, I said, and Iran is the greatest national security threat we face. Russia does continue to battle us in the UN time and time again. I have clear eyes on this. I'm not going to wear rose-colored glasses when it comes to Russia or Mr. Putin. And I'm certainly not going to say to him, I'll give you more flexibility after the election. After the election, he'll get more backbone.
Well, I wish our president had taken some advice from Mitt Romney. Seems like Mitt Romney could understand. He wasn't going to look through rose-colored glasses when it comes to Vladimir Putin. He said he sure wouldn't get more flexibility after election. He'd get more backbone. Well, what did the president have to say during that same debate about Russia and about Mitt Romney and his expertise in foreign policy? Listen to what the commander-in-chief had to say.
A chance. Governor Romney, I'm glad that you recognize that Al-Qaeda is a threat, because a few months ago, when you were asked what's the biggest geopolitical threat facing America, you said Russia. Not Al-Qaeda, you said Russia. In the 1980s, are now calling to ask for their foreign policy back, because you know the Cold War has been over for 20 years. But, Governor, you know, when it comes to our foreign policy, you seem to want to import the foreign policies of the 1980s.
Mr. Obama, I wish you had imported the foreign policies of the 1980s. You could learn something from Ronald Reagan. You could learn how to negotiate in strength instead of weakness. Wow. How wrong can a commander-in-chief be? And how many people have to suffer? And what's the consequences of America's future? Just like I asked John McCain a while ago, what does it do for us 10, 20 years down the road? And Putin is just like a hungry bear. It reminds me of an ad. Let me play this ad from 1984 presidential race. Take a listen to this.
There's a bear in the woods. For some people, the bear is easy to see. Others don't see it at all. Some people say the bear is tame. Others say it's vicious and dangerous. Since no one can really be sure who's right, isn't it smart to be as strong as the bear? If there is a bear.
Is there a bear in 2015? Is Vladimir Putin energizing a bear that's been hibernating for decades? Well, I tell you, I think he's got a hunger for Crimea. Bit it off. Nothing happened. Looks like he's going into Syria, and he's crunching on that, nibbling on that, telling America, oh, by the way, we're going to use the airspace in Syria, and we want you not to fly any planes. Wow. Can you believe a commander-in-chief getting that news from a bear that's hungry? Well, we got a lot to talk about, and you can see how President Obama is doing his foreign policy from what he told Mitt Romney even 4 years ago. I knew what it meant. So many people knew what it meant. And Americans were stuck in delusion and deceived. Just absolutely deceived. But I'm going to play those clips. We got an important place and piece of the puzzle to talk about what's happening between Russia and the United States. But not just Russia. We got to talk about some things that are happening around the world as this is going on and we're watching in the Middle East. But right now, let me remind you, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us right here on WebTalkRadio.net. Glad to have you. And I also want to tell you about the book called Bedrock Truth. Right in time for the 2016 elections, you need your copy. It's called Bedrock Truth 8, Uncompromising Principles for America Now. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, but now. And it's not written just by Doc Holliday. We also have chapters by Dr. Alveda King and Dr. Alex McFarland. We cover the tough issues like immigration. Dr. Alveda King, she's been on this show, a friend of mine, but she's a co-writer, and she talks about going to Ferguson, Missouri and Baltimore and overcoming hate with love. She talks about pro-life, about the Planned Parenthood videos, and compares them to slavery and slaves being sold on the auction block. Unbelievable what's going on in America 2015. So many people are deceived. They got their heads in the sand. But this book, Bedrock Truth, brings out what you need to hear and be prepared to stand on and fight for in these elections of 2016. So order your copy. How do you get it? You go to the front page. Look at Bedrock Truth. Click on that picture. It'll take you to docholliday.org, and there you can order the book. DocHolliday.org. Tell your friends and neighbors. Order some for your friends and neighbors. Hey, it's not too early. to be thinking about Christmas gifts. Hey, it's time to get the orders in. And right now, we have free shipping. Order the book now, you get free shipping. Now listen, I told you, where does Barack Obama come from? How's his foreign policy? Well, take a listen to what he told Mitt Romney 4 years ago, almost 4 years ago, at the presidential debate between him and Mitt Romney. Take a listen to some of these things, and it gives you a clue about how naive this man is.
You say that you're not interested in duplicating what happened in Iraq, but just a few weeks ago you said you think we should have more troops in Iraq right now.
Yes, Mr. President, you were wrong. If you just left a handful of troops with an air base, ISIS would never have gotten a foothold. Just a few troops, just some troops. Mr. President, you failed America.
And the challenge we have, I know you haven't been in a position to actually execute foreign policy, but every time you've offered an opinion, you've been wrong.
With all due respect, Mr. President, President Obama, how many times have you been wrong? Can anyone say Libya? And whose war was Libya? Okay, go ahead, Mr. President.
You said we should have gone into Iraq, despite the fact that there were no weapons of mass destruction. You said that we should still have troops in Iraq to this day.
Yes, Mr. President. Yes, Mr. Commander-in-Chief Barack Obama. If you had troops in Iraq to this day, ISIS would not be there. The flood of illegal immigration flooding through Europe, the chaos, the catastrophe would not be the mess it is. If you had just chosen to keep some American troops and presence in Iraq, Mr. President, you have failed America.
You've said that first we should not have a timeline in Afghanistan. Then you said we should. Now you say maybe, or it depends, which means not only were you wrong, but you were also confusing and sending mixed messages both to our troops and our allies.
I hate to break this news to all my listeners, but in all the chaos, did you notice last week that in Afghanistan, for the first time since George Bush sent troops in 2001, the first time we've had, after these 14 years, a northern Afghanistan city overrun by the Taliban, over 300,000 residents, overrun by the Taliban. Where's NATO? Where are the commanders? Where are those? Where's the intelligence? What's going on? We're losing the battle in Afghanistan, which had been won.
So what we need to do with respect to the Middle East is strong, steady leadership, not wrong and reckless leadership that is all over the map. And unfortunately, that's the kind of opinions that you've offered throughout this campaign. And it is not a recipe for American strength or keeping America safe over the long
term. I'm going to add.
I have to ask this question. What does President Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and John Kerry know about American strength? Do they know anything? Do they care about American strength? Do they care about saying what you mean and meaning what you say? And after 7 years of this, you don't think Vladimir Putin knows that Barack Obama is going to talk, and there'll be no action? Can you see how weak America looks when just last week, Vladimir Putin, after President Obama had spoken at the UN and talked about how we need to talk and we need to work through these things with the chaos, the flood of immigrants in Europe coming away from the Civil War? And then what does Vladimir Putin do at the UN? He basically calls President Obama out. He didn't use his name, but he said, "Do you not see what you people have done?" When he's talking about Libya, talking about no leadership in Syria and the chaos that's ensued. And basically, Vladimir Putin has said, "You can't get it done with the West. You can't get it done with American leadership. I'll come in. I'll be the hero. I'm going to be the new supreme superpower of the world. Russia will take care of business." And that's what Putin looks like, a man who would take care of business. Hey, I got a friend. who's going to Turkmenistan. Now, that's right above Iran. Used to be a part of the Soviet Union. There, that's about 80-90% Muslim. But he said, really, there's not a lot of deep religious Muslims because they were under communism for 80 years. So there's a lot of atheism mixed in the Muslim country. But this is what he says. The men there look for a man's man, even though Putin may shoot somebody, or they say he may shoot somebody and kill somebody to get the job done. He gets the job done, and they laugh at our American president. They laugh. What do you think Vladimir Putin's doing? Is it respect? Does Vladimir Putin show any respect for the United States military? Don't you know the generals are burning up, and they got a commander-in-chief that they would like to call a knucklehead? There at the Value Voter Summit, there were four retired generals, and they were livid at how this president has weakened the military, and we face some of the most dangerous foes in the world that we've known. And this president is shrinking the military, shrinking from American leadership, shrinking America's footprint in a time when we need to be broad and serious and with strategic thinking. These generals were livid that this mistake will take years and decades to turn around from. And they were livid about the way this commander-in-chief has used the military as a social experiment, even talking about putting women in combat and lowering standards, doing things just for political show, why the millions of dollars and money pouring in to global warming efforts and putting a... And that this is what I heard. The generals didn't talk about this, but I've heard, and you know, they're putting global warming people in each division or each military unit to look at global warming, how it affects the military. And these are paid positions, and we don't have enough money to get our troops what they need. So what I'm telling you is this. This commander-in-chief is recklessly putting America in a place of weakness. And we're on the doorstep of what? Possibly World War III. Why? Because Russia, the bear, is hungry. They've eaten Crimea. They're in Syria. They're talking with Iran. They've got negotiation of shared intelligence in Baghdad, the city in Iraq that America freed, and now we've given it away to Iran. So Iran and the Shias there, the Shia militia, the Shiites are running the show in Iran. They're running the show in Iraq, and Russia is together. The three countries are sharing intelligence, they say, against ISIS, but you better believe they're backing up Assad in Syria. And why do we believe Putin? There's no need to believe him. He is after territory. And guess what? When he gets that, he's going to look at, he's dealing with Iran that has control of Hezbollah and Hamas in Lebanon, down in the Gaza Strip, and the Middle East. It's a powder keg. Are we on the footsteps of a new World War III? The doorsteps, could it be open the door to World War III in a powder keg? What could go wrong? Well, guess what? Russia will go to Saudi Arabia. They'll go to Egypt and say, you cannot depend on the United States of America. Look what they've done to their allies. They've turned their backs. You better depend on me, Vladimir Putin, and Russia will back you up. And the Russian bear will gobble up more and more. This is an appetite that is... Is there a red line for the bear? There was a red line for Syria, and it got crossed, and nothing happened. Wow. Doorstep of World War III. We're just talking about the Middle East. There is enormous amount of pressure on President Obama to do something, and will he do it out of weakness? Because what's going on in China? We've told you about that. They are still pouring concrete and building landing strips in the South China Sea. They, on these coral reefs, they're making islands, concrete islands, and nobody's challenging them. The United States saying shouldn't be doing that. Barack Obama said, you know, that's a no-no, and the concrete keeps being poured. Landing strips are made. Chinese Navy is going 12 miles off American shores, probing, see what America's going to say. And this nation, it looks weaker and weaker. And you know, like I said, those generals were incensed. They know the United States military must be respected, but we got a commander-in-chief that is not respected by Vladimir Putin, by China. Think about the hackers of China going in and getting over 4 million of our intelligence, of those who applied for security clearance. Millions. And those who got jobs, will they be blackmailed? The Chinese know this information because they got it from a sleep at the wheel administration. But we're not through yet. We'll look at the world. What's going on in South America? Is Iran working with South American countries? You better bet. And if those relationships they built, do you think Vladimir Putin is far behind? When you talk about Venezuela and other places, the Russian bear is hungry. The Chinese, the president, I told you, he stayed across the hotel when I was in Washington. But they are for the Chinese. They are not looking to make deals with America and the military. Their military is getting stronger. Ours is getting weaker. We are at a time of weakness and preparedness that is, I heard the general say, is the worst that they've seen. We are not prepared. We cannot fight battles on two fronts. We have a reduced military, reduced Navy, and we're needed around the world. What's going on? How are we going to protect Japan? How are we going to protect with naval ships when we don't have Navy ships ready to go? Aircraft carriers being restored, being rejuvenated, and we don't have enough if there's major crises across the world. We are in a bad pickle, folks, and I don't mean to scare you right here in Halloween. We're talking about the month of October, but there's some scary things happening with the immigration crisis continuing up through Europe and right here on our borders. How many people are getting to Mexico? How many ISIS these ISIS warriors are they getting through as immigrants? I am telling you, we got a problem, and the problem goes back to this administration that's been asleep at the wheel. And I'm going to leave you with some thoughts of one of the commentaries when the former colonel, this is what he had to say about where we are now.
Yeah, well, that was always about Obama putting more faith in Medvedev and Vladimir Putin than he put in the American people. Think about it. He was telling the Russians, I've got to deceive the American people through the election, but then I'll be able to cooperate with you more fully. I mean, Bill, what's troubling to me, among many things, but it's deeply troubling, listening to the UN speech on Monday and everything Obama and the administration has said since, in almost 7 years, this president has not learned that words don't stop bullets.
Now, the colonel's right on Fox News when he was saying that this president doesn't understand that words don't stop bullets. If you're talking about America, talking about around the world, and the president keeps giving words, and I know the tragedy that happened in Oregon last week that is still unfolding. We don't have all the news as I record this, but I want you to understand this president feels like he can go to the UN and walk hand in hand in some kind of nirvana kumbaya moment in the world, and the world is falling apart. Go ahead, Colonel. Finishes up now.
He is fundamentally out of touch with human reality, with the reality of history, with the reality of warfare, and Vladimir Putin, ruthless and vicious and ugly though he is, has his pulse on the... He's the one that's on the side of history now, not us. We're clinging to 20th century platitudes, and Putin is changing the world. Changing the world as we do nothing.
Help me. My fellow Americans, what happens if Russia shoots down American drones. What happens if American pilots are shot down by Russians? My friends, what happens when Hamas and Hezbollah are reinforced by the Iranian-Russian coalition and they go and terrorize Israel? My friends, are we on the doorsteps of World War III? Pray that this country will get leadership that sees beyond the years. Next week, we got more on the presidential race, more about what's going on in the world, and you're keeping up with it right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.